each of you in Jesus' name this morning. To want to welcome those who are here listening with us. God bless you for coming. We enjoy your presence. We are blessed so much, aren't we? So blessed in this country where we live that we are able to gather together. This morning I walked out on the porch as some of you were coming, and it was just a beautiful, cold winter morning. Beautiful sunshine, and here we are. We can gather together undisturbed and meet together in a warm church house and worship the Lord. So what a gift and what a blessing. We're also reminded that in parts of the world this morning, this may not be the case, and there's fear and suffering. And for following the Lord, your life is on the line, and it takes a whole different, I believe that would bring a whole different feel in living in those circumstances. Again, we greet you in the name of Jesus. We desire his presence to be here to minister to our hearts this morning. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10 for a message this morning. Lord willing, next weekend, I and my family are planning to travel to Great Lakes, Michigan. We will not be here next weekend. And I was asked to bring a message Sunday evening in Great Lakes, and I plan to share that message with you here this morning. The title that they had given me, asked me to speak on, was Reaching the Hurting Among Us. Reaching the Hurting Among Us. I'm not sure what I'll do at Great Lakes, but for this morning, I'm going to change the title to Reaching the Hurting. Reaching the Hurting. I do not intend for us to be thinking about who among us in the congregation is hurting and who isn't hurting. I rather intend for us to all bear the burden of reaching the hurting, no matter what your journey is. Reaching the hurting. As I prayed about this sermon and pondered it, my mind went to the story of the Samaritan. We call him the Good Samaritan. And I just kept coming back to that, and I chose to just study that story and draw some truths, some lessons for reaching the hurting. Before we read this story, I'd like to just make a few thoughts. This past year, we have seen the world grappling with various forms of crisis. There was weather-related times of crisis. There were earthquakes. There were tornadoes. There was flooding. From flooding to wildfires, from earthquakes and tornadoes, lives have been affected, and individuals are suffering. Some of us in the congregation here have been affected by flooding. It has caused disturbance of work schedules, loss of income. There has been wars and rumors of wars. There are men and women and children who are leaving their homes, searching for a more secure place to live. The refugees, thousands and thousands of them, leaving their homes, suffering, hurting. Children who are experiencing the loss of family members, they're abused and suffering. And as this pain and suffering abounds around us, we are keenly aware that it also affects the child of God too. The child of God also suffers. None of us is exempt from it, experiencing pain and crisis. We just reminisce a little bit over the past year. We recall experiences that brought pain and suffering. There have been numerous deaths of family members of our congregation. There have been various health journeys. There have been disappointments. There have been accidents which brought us, some of our members, close to death or serious injury. And we're tempted at times to ask God why. You know, why? Why the suffering? Why the pain? Pain and suffering teaches us. And if we allow it, if we allow it to, it will build character and refine our person. But why pain and suffering? I would like to just, you do not have to turn here, but I'd like to, in answer to this question, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to read just a few verses for you. Why is there pain and suffering? Pain and suffering came after the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3, and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The Lord God drove them out of the garden, and man, the process of death began in man. Pain and suffering. Before we move into Luke chapter 10, I also want to now turn to Romans chapter 5. And I want to bring a glorious hope. Romans chapter 5. We say that sin brought the sin, because of sin, the earth and mankind became under a curse. And the process of death and the process of decay began. But God in his mercy sent, and in our physical bodies, we understand that our physical bodies are going to die. But spiritually, we can live because of the work of Jesus. And I love it so much what Romans chapter 5 says. I'm going to read a few verses here and just pick out a point or two. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received the atonement. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I'm bringing this out to say that reaching the hurting, it is important for us to have found the joy and the hope of Jesus Christ. In answering the sin question in our lives, giving our hearts to Jesus, and experiencing the blessed hope and peace that comes through that, does not take away the pain and suffering. But it allows for a greater hope and vision through the suffering. A message to give. Yes, all the things around us are going to be destroyed. But there is a life in Jesus that we can have that lives on. Was it Job that said, even though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh will I see God? Or there's hope. There is hope for the future. God's love shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost produces a hope that does not disappoint. The message for the suffering, downcast, weary, grieving soul is Jesus Christ died for you, and he is risen, and he has made atonement for man, and he cares about us. He cares about every need of our life. Our broken, bleeding hearts can find peace through his cross, through faith in him, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The individual who has the love of God in his heart will have an impact on others around him. He will encourage others by his person, brighten others with his smile, and lighten their burden by his actions. I believe that if God is in our heart, others will be encouraged by our person, by who we are, and by what we do. Now, I'd like to move to Luke chapter 10. I'd like to read this story, and we would like to look at the Good Samaritan, we call him, and we'd like to draw some lessons about reaching out to the hurting. Reaching out to the hurting. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Lessons from the Good Samaritan on reaching the hurting. Who was the Samaritan? What does your memory tell you about the Samaritans? The Samaritan was a person, I believe, by what we learn from history, he was a person who was accustomed to rejection. The Samaritans were despised because of their mixed worship and because of their Gentile ancestry, a part of their line. They were despised by the Jews, rejected. This Samaritan is walking on the journey. I found it interesting to note that this journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, as the Bible tells us, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you actually look at a map, we would look at it as going up. But he went down, and the reason I believe they say it was down, the road was very steep from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem was about 2,500 feet above sea level. Jericho was about 825 feet below sea level, and the road was about 18 miles long, and it was a steep decline. The road was dangerous. It was a dangerous one. There was climate change from Jerusalem to Jericho, but the Samaritan was on this road. Lesson number 1 is this. In reaching the hurting, I'm just going to lay out to you what God has laid on my heart. The Samaritan was willing to reach out beyond the obstacles in his own life. What do I mean by that? God is looking for men and women who are willing to be instruments of encouragement to others, even amid their own pain. Reaching out amidst the obstacles in his own life, bitterness could have hardly been part of his experience, could have it? Hardly. He could have hardly been a bitter person with what he did. But we would say he would have reasons to have been bitter. He was rejected. Perhaps his own journey of pain and hurt caused him to have compassion on the wounded man. Maybe his own journey. He learned some things, and he understood, and his character was refined. Painful, traumatic experiences in life will either cause one to become bitter or they will cause one to become better. The Samaritan was willing to reach beyond the obstacles in his own life. What were they? Well, we already said, he was acquainted with rejection, I believe. He was on a journey. He had a place to go. It was a dangerous moment. It was a steep journey. And here was a wounded man. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Jesus is a perfect example of this. While Jesus hung on the cross and was dying and bleeding, he reached out to his mother. He reached out to the thief by his side, looking beyond the obstacles in his own life. Are you able to do that? Am I able to do that? Reach out beyond the obstacles in my own life to reach out to the soul who is wounded and hurting. Number two, simple one, but the Samaritan saw the wounded man. Very elementary. But the Samaritan saw the wounded man. Do you ever find yourself too busy to even notice the struggling heart? The struggling soul. Too busy to even notice. And I am blessed by what I see in the congregation here at Chapel. Yes, we have room to grow. But it blesses my heart when I hear of brothers and sisters reaching out to each other. Reaching out. The Samaritan saw the wounded man. Does the journey that you are on hold more importance to you than the wounded man by the road? Does the journey you are on have more importance? The priest and the Levite saw him too, but had no impact on him as far as helping him, reaching out to him. They saw him too. They were the religious of the day, but they didn't lift a hand to help him. They had an agenda. We don't know what all they needed to do, but obviously it was more important than helping the wounded man. To reach out to others, one must be observant to the needs around him. 1 John 3:16-17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. But in deed and in truth. I am challenged with this. It is so easy to say words. But you know, words, while they're needful, they're really cheap, aren't they? Actions speak louder than words. He saw the wounded man. Number three, the Samaritan was moved with compassion. I'm going to tell you what this word compassion means. It means to have the bowels yearn. Do I care about individuals? The journey that they are on, I see the plight they are in, and does it affect how you feel physically? Do you know what I mean by that? Are you connected enough that sometimes you just get a stomach ache? It just hurts. That's what this word means. The bowels yearn. Feel sympathy toward, to pity. That's what happened when this Samaritan was going down the road. I don't know if he was sitting on his donkey, if he was walking beside it. But just picture him. This is a steep path, and he's trying to take his footing, and he's walking down, and he's going, and he's looking, he's observing. Oh, there's a man wounded. And he goes over right away. What would church life be like if we had more individuals who did that rather than pick up the phone and say, hey, did you hear? Just a note. He had compassion. To reach the hurting, one needs to develop a heart of compassion for the needs of others. A selfish person will hardly be a compassionate person. A compassionate person will hardly be a selfish one. A compassionate person is one who is willing to listen to the heart that is wounded. Willing to listen. When the heart is moved with compassion, it goes to the aid of those who are hurting. Hebrews 12, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Let it rather be healed. A heart of compassion. Moving on, number 4. The Samaritan gave of what he had to meet the need of the wounded man. I see in the Good Samaritan, we'll call him, I see an individual who was traveling on his journey prepared to serve. He was prepared to take care of his own needs, I believe. But what did he have? Notice in he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and he went to him. He bound up his wounds. He apparently had bandage material. He had oil. He poured in oil and wine. He had oil and wine. He was prepared. Now, I know I talk about my mother different times. But again, my mother was a mother who was prepared for times of crisis to reach out to others. When there was a death or a barn fire in the community, if someone, now obviously she did it to those that she was acquainted with, mostly. It was not uncommon for my mother to, in her younger years, as I was growing up, where there was a barn fire, it was not uncommon for her to just, she didn't have license, so Dad would take her. Dad was also involved in this, but she was the one that did the food preparations. It was not uncommon for them to, we're going over with cookies, treat the firemen. They lived in a local Mennonite community, and there were more ladies doing the same. When there was a death, she was often there soon after, just stopping in with some soup or whatever it was. Here, we care about you. Willing to serve. I remember her words so clearly. She said, you know, people ask me, how can you do this so quick? She said, well, you gotta be prepared. I remember it so clearly. That sticks with me. You got to be prepared. Reaching the hurting. The Samaritan gave of what he had to meet the needs of the wounded man. You say, I don't have anything to give. That may be true. You can give your time. You can go and you can listen. You know, if you want to hear someone, just go to them and just listen to them. Ask them some questions about their journey and just leave them talk. If it's a grief journey, just leave them talk. And you do not need to offer, and in most cases you shouldn't, offer a remedy. Just leave them talk. To become involved takes time. How can we bind up the wounds of others? I said already, by giving a listening ear, by noticing their needs and offering to help, by communicating words of love and care, not being judgmental and critical, by having something to give. I believe this Good Samaritan in the story was an humble person. He wasn't doing it for glory, but he saw a need and he stepped out and he was willing to help. And there's so much in this point that we could talk about. But simply being there for the needs. I would like to also caution against being forward or being a busybody. But be tactful. Be tactful and be sensitive to the need. Be sensitive to the need. There have been times where I have said things that I didn't mean to be hurtful. But they were hurtful. And when you're communicating with a hurting individual, you are compassionate about them. You are hearing them. And you are hearing them by seeing their body language. And when you see them, ouch, because of something you said, you talk about it. You talk about it. Be alert. Be sensitive to their needs. God is the one who does the healing. We are his servants and instruments of his, instruments on the earth for him. Number 5. The Samaritan cared enough that he was willing to stop back and see how things were going, reaching the hurting. The Samaritan cared enough that he was willing to stop back and see how things were going. He was engaged in caring for this man. I'm impressed with what he did. He stayed there. He took care of him in the inn. And the next day, the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. 2 pence is 2 denarii, I believe it is. Do you know what 2 denarii was? It was 2 days' wage. 2 days' wage. So today, if you make $20 an hour, 10-hour day, $200, $400, he paid. Maybe you make more than that, maybe you make less. 2 days' wage. But he was engaged enough to stop back and say how things were going. And if furthermore, if there's a big debt, if there's more to be paid, I will pay it. Galatians 6, verse 2 and 9. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men. I heard a brother relate this story. He suffered an emotional breakdown in his experience, was on a journey emotionally. One day, another brother stopped in to see him. Did you know, I just wanted to stop over because I was in the same shoes you are. I'm here to talk. And as my memory serves me, the brother with the emotional breakdown, the emotional hurt, appreciated that so much. But you know, that wasn't the only time the brother stopped in. He stopped in again. Later. He stopped in again later. He stopped in again. How are you doing? Brothers and sisters, we need to have a church family who is concerned about each other that we are willing to follow up. We're willing to follow up. How are you doing? And furthermore, and I see that among us, not giving this because I do not feel that we share together. That's not why I'm bringing this. I'm challenged in my own experience. Because we have busy schedules, don't we? We have time limits. We feel. We must get going. Well, maybe we should just simply stop a little more often. Bear one another's burdens, reaching out to the hurting. Quickly, just some points in conclusion. To reach the hurting, I need to be willing to reach out beyond the obstacles in my own life. I need to be observant to the needs of those around me. I need to reach the hurting one. To reach the hurting, one needs to develop a heart of compassion for others. Reaching the hurting requires giving. Caring for others who are hurting compels one to follow up. I'd like to read a song that came to my mind as I was studying the song, True Evangelical Faith. And we'll close. True evangelical faith cannot lie sleeping, for it clothes the naked, it comforts the sorrowful, it gives to the hungry food, and it shelters the destitute. It cares for the blind and lame, the widow and orphan child. That's true evangelical faith. It binds up the wounded man, it offers a gentle hand. We must become everything to all men. Abundantly we have received, and gratefully we will respond. So overcome evil with good, return someone's hatred with love, become everything to all men. I'll make one comment. Become everything to all men. We must understand our limitations too. But I think what this verse is saying is simply live the love of Jesus that you have found in your heart by accepting him, through grace that has been given to you, the hope of heaven, the joy that you have, and allow that to shine through you to reach and touch others. May God help us to reach the hurting. With a heart of humility, a heart of love, a heart of compassion. Allow him to speak to us and allow him to show us. Allow our brothers and sisters to challenge us, to encourage us. May his kingdom go on. Let us pray.